are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
I am back, another Locked On Wolves podcast coming at you, and throughout the week, we've been discussing Timberwolves, who they could realistically take in the playoffs if they were to be injected into the Western Conference playoffs. Who would they be able to beat? And we also were talking the other day about highlights. Now, we did not include any Towns highlights. That's purely a show of its own. So we will have that coming later. But today, we want to do the fun part of this. Or the fun way to say it is it's the bloopers. Really, it's the depressing parts of the season. And we're wrapping everything up. We're putting a bow on everything as far as the season is concerned over the last couple of weeks. So I feel like we have to discuss this, but I'm going to try and do this in the most comedic way possible when looking at some of the stuff that's happened to this team over the course of the season. And so that's why I'm labeling them bloopers, not trying to get any Timberwolves fans in their feelings during the off season when we're kicking back and just watching other teams be good at basketball. So these are going to be the bloopers here for the Timberwolves season. And I got the basketball. I got the playoff game on Philly and Brooklyn right now. Got my coffee, got my computer running. So let's do this. This is about as good a spot as any for this type of conversation. So let's get into this. Let's get down to the first blooper, which has to be the practice, the first Jimmy Butler practice when he comes back from the summer. And he rolls in. I imagine he rolls in like Genghis Khan, just looking to conquer, looking to destroy and defeat. And he starts trash-talking everybody. He's running the third team against the starters. And when you think about it, this is kind of funny. This is what you hear when you hear about, when Kevin Durant goes to, downtown Washington or something, D.C., and he's stomping all the people. Or you have Kyrie going downtown Chicago. I don't know. Some time that an NBA athlete goes and they kind of just trounce kids in the playground, and they take some scrubs on their team, and they just carry the whole team and trounce some really good, some guys who think they're something, think they're pretty good. Except Jimmy Butler did that to actual NBA players. He took it to the next level. He took the playground basketball to the next level. And he did that to NBA players. And not only did he do that, that's pretty embarrassing and kind of funny. It's kind of funny. You can look back at it. We're far enough away from it, I think. You can admit it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. But he also trash talks everybody in the vicinity while he's doing it. And I think that's important, too, to remember that it was everyone in the vicinity, not just everyone he was playing. He was trash-talking coaches. He was trash-talking front office people, the owner, Glenn Taylor. He was trash-talking everyone. That's pretty funny. And I don't know. I think that a lot of people hated it, but I also think I think if you pulled all the men, just everybody who plays basketball, guys and girls alike, if you pulled anyone who plays basketball and actually takes pickup basketball seriously in Minnesota, pulled all of them, but first you gave them truth serum, and you said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly would you want to be able to do that just once, where you're so good that not only are you playing exceptional basketball players and talking trash, but you're also able to back it up so much to the point that you're getting billionaires involved in your trash talk and you're stunting on people who literally own a basketball team? I don't know. I think everyone would say yes. I think everyone who actually cares about pickup basketball would say yes. And if they said no, they were lying. Somehow they found immunity to the truth serum. And when you're thinking about that kind of scenario, it's kind of funny. it's kind of funny. It was really actually, I wasn't super upset about it in the moment, but it was upsetting for a lot of people in the moment. I'm sure there's people who still don't like thinking about it, but it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. The next blooper was has to be Tibbs getting fired in the middle of the three-game win streak. Now, 3 games is not a crazy amount of games, but when the Timberwolves were as bad as they were this season, 3-game win streak does stand out as something that you are supposed to be happy about, something that you're supposed to that you should be jubilant about, and it should be a signaling of, hey, maybe we're getting a little traction here. And they fire him on an average Sunday. They fire him on an average Sunday night after a win against the Lakers, which was pretty hilarious because I think of the guy who's throwing printers and computers through glass and has people shaking in their boots and shivering and quaking and scared in the organization, and he's running this with this brutish bully kind of mentality, and this dude who thinks, I mean, it must have been like in Goodfellas when one of the mafia guys rolls up to the Italian bar and you think you're untouchable, you think you're impervious, you are the baddest MF-er in the entire building. You run it. You run the whole thing. And you roll up. You don't even look behind you. Because who in their right mind would be sneaking up behind you? They'd be foolish. Even if they think they have the drop on you, it'd still be stupid because you're in your place and you're the guy. You are the top dog. You are the man. And he just rolls in after he rolls into the office after that win. Throws down the post-game papers, loosens up the tie, and gets fired. That's hilarious to me. And I didn't like Tibbs. I've been on the Becky Hammon hire train for the last 2 years. And he did not mix well with this organization. I never, ever like when a coach tries to be a president and run basketball operations as well. It's too many things that you're trying to do. So I hated that part of it. I didn't think he mixed well with the organization. Didn't think he coached well. I mean, when you have such a terrible defense and that's what you're supposed to be good at is defense, that never is a very positive sign. And so I thought it was really, really funny that he gets roasted and toasted when because think about it. He was the guy who was kind of putting everybody under his thumb is why it's so funny, is that this guy was turned on. The guy they gave the keys to couldn't start the car, and then it blew up on him. That was pretty funny, too. That was actually, I mean, you could maybe count that as a highlight, except that championship teams never fire their coach midway through the season. So it also is a mark and a mar of how poorly the Timberwolves, it's a mar on the season, mark of how poorly the year was going for them. But it's also pretty funny the way it happened and who it happened to. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors. Then we're going to keep getting into this. But first, a quick break for some sponsors. Colt Molesky, we're going through the bloopers of this season. And went over the coaching fire, went over Jimmy Butler's practice. Ooh, nice block there by Tobias Harris. But anyways, and one of the other things I was looking at, it feels like the Timberwolves. Now, I don't want to give them 100% credit because there was a lot of teams at the beginning of the season that I think helped with this. But it almost feels like the Timberwolves were one of the first teams for Doncic to kind of put him up there. Not to get him on the radar because people are paying attention to him. How do I phrase this? It was one of the first teams where you really saw, this is for real. this is for real. The hype is coming true right away, right off the bat. Because sometimes it takes rookies a little. I mean, we saw the perfect comparison. It took Trae Young a few months to get going. And that's the way, that's what you expect. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so Luka Doncic, obviously, right away, he's going to be the rookie of the year. Right away, he came onto the scene. But the Timberwolves, I feel like, helped jump that right away in that 140-136 just defensive atrocity of a game. And Doncic had 26 at home in 36 minutes, shot 50% from the field, went 4 of 9 from 3. He had 6 rebounds to go along with the points, a couple steals. But that was one of the first games where you're throwing him up against this Timberwolves team that went to the playoffs last year. Butler's not playing in this game. Yes, there's the Butler problems, but you still have Towns. Wiggins, you're hoping, bounce back from a weird year. And Towns in this one had a great game, 31 points. And so I feel like I'm not, and again, I'm not saying this put him on the map or anything like that, or people weren't paying attention to him before this game, but this was one of those games early on in that first month of the season where you realize, wow, he's going to be this good right away. He's going to be this good right now. It's not going to be a month of warming up or a month and a half of adjusting and acclimating. He's going to be this good right now. Right now he's this good. And so I feel like this was one of those games. I feel like there's the bulk of a month where you look at a month and say, "All right, this is what his averages were. This is how he was playing game to game. There's consistency there." But then you look at specific games, you're like, wow, this one he really pulled out. Wow, he really took over and controlled a game in this one. He really took over a game here and controlled this game. And I feel like this is one of those games. High scoring game. Both teams were trading punches, especially late in that fourth quarter. The Timberwolves were outscored 43-37. I mean, there's a lot of points going up in that fourth quarter. There was a back and forth game. And Luka was able to lead this weird ragtag Mavericks team out of it. And he did that plenty of times throughout the season. And he did that in multiple months throughout the season. But in that first month, this is one of those games where you realize, wow, he is going to be the adult on this team immediately. And it's a little funny that the Timberwolves had rookies like Wiggins and Towns in their ilk on their roster, and they had those caliber guys, and now they're the team that is boosting the narrative around rookies as opposed to the team that was trying to get narratives going around their own rookies. That's a little ironic for the caliber young players that they have drafted in the past, with Wiggins, with Towns, first picks, to now have them be the team. It's sad. It's a sad irony. It's a, oh, that's a depressing chuckle. But it is a little funny. A little bit. Just a little bit. Another one. I don't know where to get the silver lining out of this one exactly. But this one has to be included in the blooper low light mix that we're doing. I'm just going to throw out there. I'm not sure how to get a positive, but I tell you this right now, the five-game losing road trip to the Warriors, Trailblazers, Clippers, Lakers, Kings has to be one of the worst stretches, not only of the season, but just when you have players like Butler and Towns still on the team. And again, this is early. I know that they had these problems for the team early on, but gosh, that sucked. That really sucked. That was definitely a low light and a low point in the season. And I'm going to get off of this because this isn't in the spirit of the show, but it has to be mentioned. That was a real bummer and a real depressing run for the Timberwolves. Another blooper. Losing to the Memphis Grizzlies 100-87. I laugh because that's a stupid score and because that's a stupid thing to have to say about a team, especially when they were at home, is that you lost to the Grizzlies 100-87. And they sucked against the Grizzlies too, because in their win it was overtime and Towns had that to win, and then they lost again by 2 points. They just could not play the Grizzlies. And this is another one where it was one of those games you point to, and this happened in November, just if anybody's tracking where I'm going here, but I barely even do that. But anyways, this happened in November. It was this, and then I believe it was a week before that the Grizzlies played the 76ers, and then a little bit before that, Memphis played somebody else, another big man. But there was starting to be this run where we were realizing how good Gasol's defense was going to be in the season against elite-level big men, and how this vet was still a very wily veteran, a very wily defender, a very smart, high IQ defender who was getting in the head of these really talented young big men. And so you kind of started to see that, but this was one of those games in the progression of like four matchups. This was definitely one of those matchups where Towns did not have a good game, and they couldn't get their offense going, and it just looked bad the entire time, and it was no good for anybody. And this was one of those games, and yet again, another narrative that they helped give traction to. They weren't the sole reason the narrative got traction, but they definitely helped a narrative get traction. And Towns, he did have 20 rebounds, to be fair, but 15 points, only managed 10 shots in this game. Gasol really played him well. 26 points, 13 rebounds from Gasol, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Yeah, he had a monster game. And this was another game where the Timberwolves helped somebody else's narrative. And no narrative is built. Well, that's not true. Very few narratives are built in a single game when you have an 82-game season. But this was definitely one of like four games that really helped build a narrative around Gasol and his revamped defense and bring it back for another year. Davis was one of the guys with Embiid before this game that they were playing, and he played really well against an elite big man. But anyways, nevertheless, it's a funny score, especially for how fast-paced and high octane offenses are, especially early on. The pace numbers for that first 2 months of this season were actually off the charts, and so in November to see 100-87 game was laughable. It was laughable the way Towns got kind of joked by Gasol, and I guess at the end of the season it's not as funny just because you look at it and say, oh, Gasol was actually a really good defender, a really good plus minus guy this season. But it was, in the moment, it's funny. It's still kind of funny looking back at it and kind of just like, what are we doing here? What the hell is going on here with this team? The other one, I couldn't find the highlight, but I was looking for the clip where Gibson. I was looking for this for forever, and I can't find the clip of it. Somebody on Twitter help me out. I can't remember the exact team they were playing, but I know it was a one-possession game, and the Timberwolves had the ball, and Gibson tosses the ball in to Okogie running down the middle of the court, and Okogie like takes his eye off the ball, and instead of hitting him in the hand, it hits him in the forearm, and but because he was kind of looking towards the basket and not looking back and at the ball to look it in. And it goes off his forearm, goes off his knee. He tries to chase it down, and it goes out of bounds, and they end up losing the game. That really kind of feels like the Timberwolves season in a nutshell, where they were there in a lot of games, and they had some good wins, and they were there in a lot of these games. And they also consistently shot themselves in the foot. And whether you want to blame it on injuries, or you want to blame it on young talent, or confusing players like Wiggins, whatever it is, and whatever the culprit, and if you want to decide it's their fault or not, they always seem to be able to hijinx themselves out of wins throughout the course of the season, no matter who the opponent was. And so that blooper reel of an attempt to close out a game is kind of funny, just because it really felt like their season, and it really felt like they're always they're always close to something, but at the same time, the guys they had were just not going to be enough. And that's not it wasn't a great play from Okogie, but it's also not – I'm not specifically talking about Okogie there when I say they don't have the players. Okogie is going to be very good, but they don't have enough young, very good talent or just enough role-playing good talent in general. And so they always manage to joke themselves out of these – out of these wins, and that was something that stuck out to me is, yeah, this kind of sums up the season. Yeah, this is about where we're at. This is about the team. One last thing before I head out here. The biggest joke of the season. The biggest one. I haven't been ranking these or putting these in any sort of order, but this is definitely, if we are going to make some sort of ranking, this is definitely number one for the biggest joke of the season. The Timberwolves are absolutely dreadful at drawing up plays out of timeouts to close out games, to close out any game. In the last minute, in the last 2 minutes of a game, the Timberwolves are one of the worst teams ever at drawing up plays. And you think it'd be easier when you have somebody, especially like Towns, who's just so dominant. You think you'd be able to try and get some sort of screening going, some sort of movement to get him on a mismatch with a defender. And I get it. Some of these plays, you've got 6 seconds. That's not a ton of time, but in the NBA, that's still a pretty decent amount of time. You can still run some sort of play. You can still run some sort of screen or get some sort of movement going off ball, something to open something up to free somebody. There's so many plays where it would be like a contested jumper off just isolation. And none of these guys, I mean, when Harden does isolation, that's fine. And Derrick Rose defensively was actually pretty solid in isolation this year. But for most of these, it's like, why did we have Teague or Wiggins or Jared Bayless in taking that isolation shot with 50 seconds left when we need a bucket? Like, why was that the play? What the hell are we doing? What is going on here? What was the plan exactly? And there's so many where the play is, even if it's just a simple play, something that's not just a fadeaway shot with a hand in your face would be so much better than the fadeaway shot with a hand in your face. And they were so poor at execution down in the final minute and a half of games. It was just laughable, especially when you have a guy like Towns, which is, I'll mention it again, especially when you have a guy like Towns and you can try and get a mismatch going, or hell, you just run the offense through him and have him draw defenses, because at that point in the game, he probably already has 30 points. And if he hasn't fouled out yet, then defenses are going to try and collapse on him, and you're opening stuff up. I mean, something. But what they ran so often to close out games was so dreadful and so punishing to the eyes that it was laughable. You could do nothing else but throw up your hands and laugh at it, because it was ridiculous. It was pathetic. And yeah, that's what I want to end on. It bothered me literally all season. Every single game it bothered me. Even games they're winning. But yeah, it bothered me all season. It was a joke. And that's where we're going to end. So we're going to talk about Towns highlights specifically next podcast. So hopefully that'll lighten the mood for Timberwolves faithful listening, still listening to this show. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.